This is Hash It Out with Jane
is a podcast that supports independent thought, personal responsibility, and social consciousness. My name is Jane Hash, and I want to thank you for downloading this episode of Hash It Out with Jane. This episode is intended for individuals over the age of 18 who have a very open mind. After this brief message from our sponsor, I'll be right back with Patty Burns from Sins Invalid.
You already know that you can be making additional income by selling items on eBay, but do you know the inside secrets and tips that will allow you to achieve your maximum success? If not, you need personal instruction from eBay-certified expert Robin Hyatt. Robin is one of 38 people in the world trained directly by eBay as a certified eBay education specialist. For over 10 years, Robin has coached eBay sellers, helping them generate hundreds of thousands of dollars in sales from the comfort of their own homes. She can help you too. Robin offers her affordable consultation services on-site, online, or by phone 7 days a week. Act now and learn the secrets of eBay success from certified eBay business consultant, Robin Hyatt. To find out more about how Robin can help you start making money on eBay, visit her website at auctionsalestraining.com. That's auctionsalestraining.com.
Patty Burns, thank you for hashing it out with me today. So tell us about Sins Invalid and what your affiliation is with them.
Oh, great. Thank you so much for having us and me on. I'm one of the co-founders of Sins Invalid, along with Leroy Moore, Todd Herman, and Amanda Kostler. And at this point, I'm the executive and artistic director. Sins Invalid is a disability justice-based performance project. All performances are about disability, embodiment, and sexuality. The majority of the artists we work with are artists of color, and the majority of artists are queer and or gender variant. And we've been in existence since 2006. We've been doing programming that's more robust than just the performance since the following year, since 2007.
Now, combining people with disabilities and sexuality, that's kind of taboo. And then you throw in the whole queer aspect. How do people receive you when you have your performances?
Because I'm a queer disabled woman of color, like, I don't trip. Like, I'm, you know, it's just, it is what it is, right? Like, I have my inclinations and my interests in my life, and I don't really, it's just, you know, it's who we are. So, and we're just producing work with as much integrity and authenticity as possible. And I, about a year ago, I met an audience member. They were like, so, well, I guess I should first give context. Most of our audience is profoundly moved by the honesty that people are speaking about their bodies, about their sexualities, about love and love lost, and just what it means to be a sexual being in a world which neuters us, which dehumanizes us, you know, holding on to our integrity and our beauty and celebrating ourselves and finding, you know, paths to our own liberation, either in relationship to others or in relationship to ourselves if we aren't, you know, in relationship to someone else. But I do kind of forget the impact that it has on people when it's kind of pervy work, because I definitely put some of the more controversial stuff on stage, and I had written something that two performers did where Leroy Moore was playing a character named Blues, and he was going to a pro dom, and 1 year he was doing puppy training. And the next year, he was doing a medical scene. And these are things that are not available for people to view on YouTube because it's really provocative, you know, and we're not, you know, I'm not trying to, you know, scandalize children. So, so people see it in the live performance, and I didn't think anything of it because, you know, I grew up in San Francisco. It's like, whatever. So what if it's like SM content and I'm a crip, big deal, you know, we're people of color. Of course, we have to engage in power relations all the time, you know, within white supremacy. So of course, like that, you know, how we understand power relations gets incorporated into sex play. And so this is like an obvious thing to me, but I remember meeting an audience person that was like, whoa, like that was just, it's a lot. And I was like, really?
Now, I know what you're talking about, but I know some of my listeners are going to have no idea that there's no puppy actually involved in what you're describing. Yes. Can you give like a BDSM 101 so people can follow?
Yes. Well, I wrote something that had to do with essentially a man with a disability going to see a professional dominatrix. And as part of the erotic play for him, he wanted to be treated like a puppy, you know, praised like a puppy, pet like a puppy, reprimanded like a puppy, and drink from a bowl on the floor like a puppy, and, you know, wag his naked bottom like a puppy. And so this was all just, you know, part of the script, because I mean, we're, you know, the culmination of it was, you know, a series of questions to the audience asking, you know, what was it like to watch a black man be submissive? Did it turn you on, freak you out? You know, how did it complicate the image of the one-dimensional handicapped victim? You know, or did it reinforce the idea of the perverted cripple seeking out to meet his perverse needs? You know, we asked the audience to turn away from the myths and misperceptions of people with disabilities and instead look at what we desire and what we crave. And so that was like an opening piece for 2007. And, you know, just was kind of putting in people's face, like, look, this is part of the, you know, as crips, we're both like completely vanilla sexually, like just kind of sweet and nice and romantic, and also hardcore. You know, some of us are monogamous, some of us are polyamorous. Some of us, you know, want to get action and don't. Some of us get more than we know what to do with. You know, some of us are principled. Some of us are scandalous. Like, we're human, Jesus freaking Christ, you know? Like, we're you know, and it's, and simultaneously, while that's true, you know, one of the primary ways that we are, that we experience ableism is through being basically neutered by not being seen as sexual, which, of course, then leaves us very, that kind of dehumanization and devaluing then leaves us in many ways open to, you know, sexual exploitation and abuse. There are very high rates of sexual exploitation and abuse of people with disabilities. And so in the shows, not only do we address the ways in which we are sexual, but also the ways in which sometimes we're not seen as sexual and how painful that is, or the ways in which we've experienced sexual violence and how, I mean, devastating that could be and what we've done in order to recover from that. So it really is kind of the full range of, you know, that we can represent, you know, as one organization around sexuality and disability embodiment.
So where do you have your performances? Do you do this at colleges?
No, we typically rent out a theater in San Francisco. You know, we've partnered with the Bravo Theater, which is in the historic Mission District of San Francisco, beautiful old theater, you know, and we've also used a place called Theater Artaud, now called Z Space, which is another beautiful brick warehouse, you know, in the Mission District of San Francisco. And, you know, they both have the capacity of around 300 people. And we usually go for 3 nights and it usually sells out. So usually, you know, about 900 people see the performance a year. When colleges, you know, invite us with a budget to fly out multiple performers, we'll do that. This year, we're actually going to be in Oakland for the first time, which is exciting for us, at the New Parkway Theater, because we're actually premiering our film, which is a big deal for us, and we really want to rent like a cool, funky film theater and not do it in a performance space.
So tell us, what is the film about? Is it just about your performances, like a documentary?
It is a documentary of both the performances themselves and some I don't know, I guess you could call them behind the scenes thinking about the work, how we engage with each other. And there's some performances that people can't find online. We worked on it for 5 years. We got about 100 hours of footage. Right now, we have a 32-minute documentary about Sins Invalid and, you know, the work that we do.
The name Sins Invalid, what does that mean to you?
Well, it was really a collaborative name development between myself, Leroy, Todd, and Amanda way back in the day. I mean, we started off with just like, we're just playing with words, you know, sinful, sticky, sex. I don't know. I ended up, I guess, stringing together the idea of sins invalid, an unshamed claim to beauty in the face of invisibility. I'm sure for many of us, the idea of disability being somehow a sin is familiar. Some like religious framework, and even, you know, people that are not religious, when they have children with disabilities, there's some weird, like, oh, what did I do, right? There's still some, you know, tragedy that has some like moral or spiritual subtext, you know, which is absurd. Like, it's, you know, of course all births have a spiritual subtext, that it's awesome and beautiful, that's the subtext, you know. And like and so the idea of my body, of Leroy's body, of your body being a sin, that's the invalid idea.
So what can people expect if they're brave enough to come to one of your performances? Because I'm sure some people will have this preconceived idea that it's a bunch of naked, disabled people just prancing around having sex.
No, it's not live sex theater. I mean, it's a performance. We had parents bringing children, which I think speaks to ableism, right? Like, if there was a performance about sexuality and, you know, black men, people would be scandalized, would never think to bring children, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But because it's around disability, people thought it was like G-rated. I'm like, okay, no, no, no. So, I mean, it depends on the year. We usually have a theme. This year, it's mixed ability fucking. And I do want to say that this year, it's not a typical year. We are really highlighting the film. So the performances are very low key, not very staged at all. It's a Crip soiree and speakeasy this year. It's not a cabaret. It's not just, you know, a series of people going up and taking a mic. It really is one show that's art. People should expect good work. And I think people will enjoy it. It is adult content, you know, and some of it is not just sexually provocative, but also emotionally provocative. Because, you know, when people are talking about histories of pain and trauma, that's provocative. You know, just as much as it's healing to talk about the ways in which we move through that and heal and moreover embrace ourselves and our sexuality, it's also, you know, painful when people are watching, you know, a performance. For example, last year, you know, Celie Quest and I collaborated on a piece about eugenics using Carrie Buck narrative. And, you know, we created a small film, you know, backdrop, which included the Lynchburg colony for the mentally unfit. And, you know, Carrie Buck, Celie Quest played Carrie Buck and described the way in which they had been assaulted. And for people that don't know, Carrie Buck was a landmark case for people with disabilities in terms of forced sterilization in, I believe, 1924. And it was the kind of landmark case that allowed a great deal of forced sterilization of people with disabilities for a couple of decades. So when people see things like that, like, that's painful, that's provocative.
So where can people find out information about Sins Invalid?
Oh, people can come to our website, which is simply sinsinvalid.org. People can come to our Facebook page, which you can, like, just, you know, look on Facebook and type in Sins Invalid. People can drop us a line at info@sinsinvalid.org. People can go to our YouTube channel, which is Crip Justice, C-R-I-P Justice, and look at performances and whatnot. Yeah, and just converse with us and, you know, find out more and you know, play with us. We have performance-based workshops multiple times a year where we have artists with disabilities leading workshops. Sometimes it's movement, sometimes it's song, sometimes it's poetry, so people can come and play with us. people can come to our, we have a program called Making Connections, where we have, you know, activist scholars talking about the intersections of disability, sexuality, race, and gender around different topics. We do that 2 or 3 times a year.
When is your movie going to be available?
Well, you know, one of the things that we're learning about film, even independent film, is a business. And we thought we could just, you know, do it and then start selling it, right? No, no, you can't do that. You have to first go through the film festival circuit. And so we were all excited to just, like, start selling, like, hotcakes out of the back of a car or something. No, no, can't do that. Because then you won't get accepted into film festivals if they think that you're, like, just selling so much to individuals. So we're trying, we did get into one film festival so far, super excited about it, the Kansai Queer Film Festival in Osaka, Japan.
Congratulations!
Thank you very much. Thank you. It's huge. So I'm actually flying out there on September 12th, which is super anxiety provoking because I'm a power wheelchair user and like I'm kind of freaked out that they're going to break my wheelchair.
Take your joystick off and carry it on the plane with you.
Yeah. That's the plan. And my Rojo cushion and the headrest and as much of the backrest as I can take off. And I'm going to try to bubble wrap the, like, anything that sticks out. Like, I'm hella paranoid. having flown before and having my chair broken before. But we're going all the way to Japan. And I'm not worried about Japan because it's a really, it's, you know, I mean, it's probably more accessible than New York City, at least Osaka is, from what I can tell. And so, yeah, that'll be our first film festival. It's very exciting. It's the world premiere of the film. And then people can also come to the Crip Soiree in the Bay Area of California. And that is going to be at the New Parkway Theater on October 11th and 12th. In Oakland, and we're calling it again the Crip Soiree and Speakeasy, and there'll be the first U.S. screening of the Sins and Ballad film, as well as performances by Nomi Lam, Leah Lakshmi, Leroy Moore, and Celie Quest, and Maria Palacios, all artists that are in the film.
So is it too soon for people to buy their tickets to your Crip Soiree?
No, people can absolutely do it. Go to brownpapertickets.com, go to our Facebook page, and you can find a link, or you can just go to Brown Paper Tickets and type in Sins and Ballad, and it'll take you to the Sins and Ballad Crip Soiree page.
And what's your theme again this year?
It's mixed ability fucking.
Okay, that is not reason enough to buy a ticket. I don't know what is.
Yeah, it's how we do each other. How we do each other across abilities, you know, across disabilities, across all the lines.
Well, thank you so much, Patty. I'm glad we finally connected. I'm very excited to see your movie when it becomes available.
Thank you.
I wish you guys lots of luck in the film festival circuit.
Jane, it's really I'm really glad to meet you and to participate in your podcast because, you know, for those of us that are doing kind of work in the media and trying to change the, you know, public perception of disability and kind of do some organizing amongst folks with disabilities, you know, using media, it's really exciting to meet you. And I'm really, anything that we can do to support your work, I'd love to hear about.
Awesome. And if they break your chair on the plane, you're going to come back on the show and we're going to make a bunch of noise.
Thank you.
Can I get an amen? Can I get an amen? If you can't love yourself, how in the hell you gonna love somebody else? Say amen.
I lost all hope today. My car broke down. I'm empty. So I went to a friendly bar. There was a show. This one's different.
Lost and confused, I had to smile from within.
when I realized these women were men. Your beard grew back again. Girl, that's okay. Just keep shaving. All your dreams in front of you, just don't sashay. Don't misbehave. Don't let the weight of the world flatten your weave. Just tease it out, turn Adam to Eve.
When life pulls you down, put on a shiny sequin gown.
If you can get a gig, go buy yourself a lace front wig. Just tuck your junk and hit that runway. It'll get better someday.
Information about topics and people discussed in this episode, visit my blog at hashitoutwithjane.blogspot.com. If you have any comments, questions, or you just want to tell me how amazing I am, send me an email at hashitoutwithjane@gmail.com.